I've been delivering real results in fiscally responsible ways. We've already cut the federal deficit. We've already cut the federal deficit over $1 trillion.
The debt is spiraling out of control, and it is a real problem, but he's not doing anything to fix it. It's gone up $6-some-odd trillion in the last 3 years under Biden. There's 180 million Americans. You're going to take away their right to post on there. And people say, oh, we're not doing that. They just have to change ownership. Well, what if they don't exist? What if you destroy the company in the process of this and all the business goes to Facebook? Are we going to be really happy we rewarded Zuckerberg over this?
All right, guys. Happy Tuesday. It's warming up here in the greater DC area where it's like 70 degrees for the rest of the week. I think spring is upon us, but always know that I think there's going to be one more little trick. It's going to get cold for like 3 or 4 days to make you keep those sweaters out, and then it gets cold. But cherry blossom season is upon us. The tourists are in town. And guess what? President Biden sent his budget up to the Hill yesterday. Very late, by the way. He keeps talking about how it's great. It's going to cut the deficit. And remember, that's not really true. Of course, we don't fact check him. It was a fiery speech. Remember, fiery speech. It's going to be interesting how Republicans use this budget and juxtapose it with their own. Remember, they're still actually trying to pass last year's bills as they deal with the next year. Yeah, that's where we're at. TikTok, as I said, is now firing back that vote 50-0 in the House Energy and Commerce Committee. It's advancing to the floor for a vote tomorrow. It's expected to pass the House. Now, remember, it's not a ban. What it says is that ByteDance, the parent of TikTok, has to sell off and make it U.S. owned. The interesting thing is TikTok is going full out. They have hired a bunch of people in the U.S. to promote this. They are just going gangbusters on members' offices, setting up little things to people who are on TikTok saying, call your member of Congress. One kid, this is dead serious, called their member of Congress and said, if TikTok ends up getting banned, I'll kill myself. If that doesn't show the power that TikTok has right now, and the director of national intelligence, Avril Haines, was on Capitol Hill yesterday saying that TikTok via China, who controls it, the Communist Party, potentially could screw with our election. At some point, the warning signs are there, folks. This is a bad thing. They are our enemy. This is a tool. This is literally a Trojan horse, a modern day Trojan horse, and we're sitting around debating it. They are our enemy. Repeat after me. They hate us. They want to defeat us. They want to destroy us. What are we doing? At some point, elected officials have an obligation to protect us. And allowing, going, oh, well, these kids are on it. What are they going to do? Are you kidding me? Grow up. Govern. This is what we're supposed to do, is protect the country. And I get it. All these political things, by the way, happen because a big donor comes in and says, oh, don't do it. There are Republicans like Kellyanne Conway right now saying that it's not a big deal. Why are we doing this? Oh, really? For 3 years, you said nothing and suddenly you're getting a paycheck and now you changed your tune. How much are you selling out this country for? You should have to disclose that. All of these so-called conservative groups that suddenly got a donation and had a change of heart. How much money did they get paid? They didn't say anything for 3-4 years. Suddenly, as soon as the legislation pops up and a big donor strokes a check, they changed their tune? Seriously, what is it? How much was the price to sell out? Let me know. I think it's a fair question. I tweeted it out yesterday. It's unbelievable. But these guys, hopefully it backfires. The House has been completely bipartisan, which I'm glad for. It's going to head to the Senate. I don't know. I'm worried about that. Rand Paul's going to be with us shortly. I want to ask him where he comes down on it. He's a leading voice on this kind of stuff. By the way, I'll talk about this after Rand Paul, but the Nancy Mace interview on George Stephanopoulos was a masterclass in how to take these folks on. And I'm going to tell you and show you what I'm talking about after the interview with Rand Paul. She was on fuego on a very personal issue. And she went back at Stephanopoulos in a way that not many Republicans can do or do. And she deserves a big clap because she got hooked into this interview. I'll tell you about it afterwards. And she came out on the spot, no talking points, and took it to him. I'm excited to show you this. But I do want to get to this interview with Rand Paul. I want to talk about debt, deficits, where we are as a party that used to care about this stuff. Obviously, you know Rand Paul. He's no wallflower. This is a man who fights on principle, fights on fact. And who knows, maybe could be the next leader of the Republicans, or at least could have a big hand in who it is who does lead the Senate Republicans. But before we do that, I want to tell you about two of the great sponsors that make this show very possible, allows us to bring it to you free every night. So let's hear from them and then get into it with Rand Paul. All right, folks, in this ever-changing economy with the ups and the downs, if you want a place to diversify your investments, call my friends at Bishop Gold Group, or you can check them out at bishopgoldgroup.com/Sean, or give them a call, 844-984-1616. Now, you're getting bombarded with ads for golds and precious metals. Bishop Gold Group are the people that I trust. They're the people that I called. Yes, I've actually put my money in Bishop Gold Group's hands and said, tell me how to grow my investments. So if you got a 401k, an IRA, or you just want to expand your investments with precious metals, these guys will sit down with you and talk about the best strategy for you, just like I did. And the way the economy's going now, you need a place, whether it's gold, silver, or other precious metals, they will tailor a plan for you. Bishop Gold Group are the people that I trust. It's integrity, it's transparency, and these guys have the understanding of the market to tell you where to be based on your needs. Go to bishopgoldgroup.com to begin your journey with precious metals. You get a free gift if you do that, or call 844-984-1616. Thank you. Attention, animal lovers. If you've rescued dogs like I have, then you're going to want to check out the work of Delta Rescue. And you go to deltarescue.org. You can see it for yourself. My friend Leo Grillo, he started this all by rescuing one Doberman, and he named the dog Delta. And that stands for dedication and everlasting love to animals. That's become an enduring mission for Leo. It's now a no-kill sanctuary, not a shelter, a no-kill sanctuary. They take care of dogs, cats, horses that need nutrition, veterinary care, whatever, and they can roam free. This is all because Leo Grillo has created this mission, and our $5, $10, $15, $100,000 donations keep the work of Delta Rescue going on. But if we want to make this an enduring mission to help this work that Leo has started go on for a lifetime, then check out the estate planning kit that they've got there and see if you can make Delta Rescue part of your estate so that this mission continues for a lifetime. DeltaRescue.org. Check out what they do. Check out the estate planning kit and help support this great, great cause. Senator Paul, good to see you. I want to play for you a clip of President Biden the other night at the State of the Union and get you to react.
I've been delivering real results in fiscally responsible ways. We've already cut the federal deficit. We've already cut the federal deficit over $1 trillion. I signed the bipartisan deal to cut another $1 trillion in the next decade.
Senator, that's $2 trillion that he's cut. Sounds pretty fiscally responsible. I follow you on Twitter. It doesn't seem that that these numbers are adding up. And I know he introduced his budget yesterday. So what do you think of the president's math and his budget?
Are you sure that clip wasn't from Saturday Night Live? You know, it looks like a joke to me because, no, really, if we're talking about the debt, you know, there's the deficit and the debt. If we're talking about the debt, it's gone up $6 some odd trillion in the last 3 years under Biden. So the debt is not being reduced. The debt is actually accelerating. The accumulation of debt is at an historic high. The only reason he can play games with the numbers is that during COVID, it was extraordinarily high. So it's come down from the levels of COVID, but it's still what most people declare to be an urgency or an emergency. The Federal Reserve Chairman 2 weeks ago said it was urgent that we deal with it. Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan Chase also said it's an emergency. We need to do something about it. Nassim Taleb, an economist and writer who wrote The Black Swan, saying this. A lot of people really are alarmed at the accumulation of debt. And when he says things like, oh, it's under control and he's reducing the deficit, you heard laughter. You heard clapping from the Democrat and you heard laughter from the Republicans. So it's just not believable. The debt is spiraling out of control and it is a real problem. But he's not doing anything to fix it.
So the debt's about $34.5 trillion, $102,000 per person. But the debt, as you point out, is driven by the deficit every year that we rack up. If you ask the people at the Peterson Foundation, 82% of American voters say they want the president and Congress to spend more time addressing the debt. And 80% say that their level of concern has increased over the past few years. I think part of that is because we are seeing interest payments on the debt start to exceed what we're spending on our national defense. how concerned are you about what deficit, what interest payments and other things are doing to crowd out what I would argue is necessary defense spending?
Well, the interest rates have doubled. So we're up at about $800 billion in interest, and military spending is about $850 billion. So they're almost equivalent. And the predictions are that interest will exceed military, but it also will exceed what we spend on Medicare. So this is a big problem. For years and years, though, both parties have been guilty of allowing the debt to rise. When George Bush was president, it went from $5 to $10 trillion, but the interest rates went from 5% to 2.5%. And everybody's like, oh, it's free. The interest rate's half as much. But suppressing the interest rates led to the housing bust in 2007, 2008. So there are problems you get from this. And this is where we are now. Now we're up to, so we were at $10 trillion at the end of George W. Bush. We're now at $34 trillion. But both parties are guilty of this. The Republicans, I think, need to understand we can't have unlimited military spending. And the Democrats need to understand we can't have unlimited welfare spending. Right now, the compromise is the opposite. So I'm very disappointed in Speaker Johnson and the Republicans in the House that voted for this. 6,000 earmarks, and it's going to lead to a deficit of $1.5 trillion. Same thing in the Senate. The only way it passes the Senate is with all Democrats and 15 big government Republicans. So this is a real problem, and this is Republicans not sticking together, Republicans not being hardcore enough, and essentially the power of the purse has been abdicated. Speaker Johnson's thrown in the towel, and he's basically doing no better than what McCarthy was doing. In fact, this deal is worse than McCarthy's debt deal because the spending caps were exceeded. And so in the end, this we're going to be on pace to a $1.5 trillion deficit. I voted no on it. I'm against the earmarks. I'm against the spending. And we need more courage from other Republicans.
You know, when Newt Gingrich was running to take back the House in 1993, 94, he used to carry around an ice bucket. And he would say at campaign stops, this ice bucket represents the ice that's delivered to members' offices every morning. Now, obviously, they all have refrigerators and ice makers in their offices now, but they didn't in whatever the 1800s. Those patronage jobs continued. And Newt's point was, this is an example of the waste that exists in Washington. And I will root out this waste because I value your hard-earned tax dollars. I've asked this of Kevin McCarthy when he rolled out the Commitment to America. Why aren't we at least going after the low-hanging fruit? Why aren't we? I never hear. I know you put out a report every year. Your background was with supporting taxpayers in Kentucky. Like, where is that old school Republican spirit of rooting out government waste, of endless of bad spending? It's almost like people are like, it's too much now. It's only a few million here and a couple billion there. I don't get the sense that Republicans even want to get rid of the low-hanging fruit.
Well, I'll give you an example. A lot of the waste comes from the National Science Foundation. William Proxmire was a conservative Democrat back when there used to be conservative Democrats. He used to do the Golden Fleece Award. Yep. And he said one of his favorites was for a $25,000 study to study whether sunfish were more aggressive when they drank tequila or when they drank gin. So they fed gin and tequila to sunfish to see how aggressive they were and see if one was worse than the other. And the National Science Foundation, I've been complaining about it for years, but you know what Republicans did about a year ago? Republicans and Democrats, the big government Republicans, they doubled the size of the National Science Foundation. So virtually all the worst of the worst studies, the shrimp on treadmill, the Japanese quail on cocaine to see which, if they're more sexually promiscuous on cocaine, that's coming from the National Science Foundation. Ridiculous stuff like that, but it wouldn't happen without Republicans. So if you watch the Senate Republicans, there's somewhere between 15 and 20 conservatives on a good day, maybe 25, but there's 20 to 25 who are big government Republicans who think, like Dick Cheney, that deficits don't matter, and they just don't care, and they vote for all this stuff. Or they say, we have to go after China, so we're going to subsidize the chips industry. Do you realize companies like NVIDIA are trillion-dollar companies? I'm all for them. They sell something good. They make money. I'm all for people making money. But why would we give trillion-dollar companies subsidies? You know, it's just ridiculous. But in doing so, they said, oh, we have to subsidize the National Science Foundation. That's how we're going to have research that combats with China. Well, that's socialized study of science, and that's what the Chinese do. We're going to emulate the Chinese and defeat the Chinese by acting like the Chinese. Terrible idea, but the waste goes on and on and on.
So as somebody who believes in smaller government, as you do, and you've championed, should I lose hope? I mean, if there's 15 of you, and I can probably name 14 of them off the top of my head, is all hope lost, or is there a way forward, or how do we regain our footing look at that poll from Peterson, 82% of voters say they want the president of Congress to spend more time addressing debt. I get it, not sexy, and no one comes home and says, you reelect me, I cut the deficit. But what do we need to do to reclaim that mantle and get more people that expose this like you are?
Get involved in the Republican primary. There are no Democrats that care about the deficit. So if you're going to vote for them, you don't care about the deficit either. Among the Republicans, everyone goes home and says they care about the deficit. Everybody says they're for limited constitutional government and balanced budgets, but they're not. Look at their voting records. Last week we voted, and about 15 to 20 Republicans voted for 6,000 earmarks. You know, the earmarks include, one of the earmarks was for $1 million for a sex club in Philadelphia having group sex in a public place. That was one of the earmarks. Now, they got embarrassed in the end and they removed it, but it was millions of dollars of bike paths that should be funded locally, boardwalks in New Jersey, all kinds of things that are really local projects and shouldn't be in there. This is what the earmarks. The Republicans voted to ban earmarks. We were against earmarks for almost a decade. Now they've come back. But unless voters punish these people for voting for earmarks and get rid of them in the next election and put forward primary proponents, they'll keep doing it. But I think very few people know how people voted. So one thing you guys could do is put up a list. Put up a list of who voted for the earmarks last week. We're going to have another vote next week. There'll probably be another 6,000 earmarks and more deficit spending. Put up who votes for these on the Republican side and let the Republicans in those states take care of these people.
You know, it's funny, that sex club thing that you brought up in Philadelphia, the two Democratic senators from Pennsylvania, when asked about it afterwards, said that they weren't aware of the behavior, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking, but you supported spending taxpayer money, and then through a bunch of investigative work that people online and others did, it exposed it. And they were like, yeah, we didn't know. And I kept thinking to myself, isn't that the bigger issue here? The fact that you supported all of this spending whether they did or didn't, that's a whole separate issue.
But the question is, does the government have a role in having heterosexual clubs or homosexual clubs? The government's got no role in that. Whatever happened to parks for everybody, you know? Can we not say the government can do a few things and it would be like something that everybody can use? And I made this debate on the House floor. Spending is allowed to be, and taxation and spending are only allowed for the general welfare. You know, some sex club for homosexuals in Philadelphia is not for everyone. It's for a very specific group. And there are legal reasons why, it used to be forbidden you could have sex in public. I think it still is in some states forbidden. But the thing is that that's not for everyone. The same way a bike path in Rhode Island's not for everyone. I'm for bike paths. You want to tax me locally in Bowling Green? I'll vote for bike paths. I like bike paths, and I ride my bike on some of our nice bike paths in Bowling Green. But the reason you fund them locally is, in Bowling Green, Kentucky, we only have a finite amount of money in our city budget, and we have to decide what we spend it on. In Washington, it's infinite because we just print it up, but that causes inflation. But that's why it shouldn't be here. But why are the bike paths coming to Washington? Because we just print up the money for them. It's free money. We bought like an air conditioning unit for some opera house in Charleston, West Virginia. An air conditioning unit. What in the world is the federal government doing that? It's free money. So everybody puts their pork in there, and that's what earmarks are, is pork. And all of these Republicans should be called out, listed by name. They are the earmark club. They are the pork barrel club. And all the Democrats are in it. Don't get me wrong. Every Democrat votes for the pork. But we have about 15 to 20 in the Senate, and there's probably 100 in the House that voted for this.
Just for the record, though, the bike path in the East Bay section of Rhode Island from like Barrington through Bristol is very nice, and it already exists, so you don't need to worry about that. I will say, you talk about what's needed. I think what's needed is leadership. You ran a poll on X. You got 178,000+ people that voted, and 97% said Rand Paul should be in leadership. Are you going to do it?
Well, if we can change the rules and that the people voting for leadership would be on my Twitter feed, yes, I think I've got a great chance. The problem is the numbers here. There will be an opponent. It's probably not going to be me, but there's going to be a conservative who runs. We already know that two of the establishment folks are running. John Thune and John Cornyn are longtime McConnell apparatchiks. They are, you know, in the clone of the McConnell mold, and they will run. They're already saying they're running. It could be one of them, but I'm hoping there'll also be a conservative run who's against earmarks, against these budgets, against the spending, and really thinks that we have problems to fix here at home before we shovel more money to Ukraine. I'm really not for a leader that believes in Ukraine first. We've got a border problem here at home. We've got, you know, look at this thug that came in and murdered Lake and Riley. I mean, we've got to do something about our border before we start shipping money over to take care of somebody else's border. And both Cornyn and Thune have been advocates, like McConnell, of sending money to Ukraine. I'm not for that, and I don't want a leader who believes in Ukraine first, America last.
All right, I got two more questions. I know your time is tight. On Ukraine, real quick, one of the ideas that was floated wasn't sending more money over there, but actually doing what we're doing, sending aid in the form of a loan. Would a loan be more acceptable to you because it's helping them, but ensuring that American taxpayers get paid back?
Less bad, but loans don't get paid back either. I mean, look at the IMF loans that went to the third world and to Latin America. Most of them are forgiven. And what ends up happening is we loan them more money to pay the interest on it. Ukraine is devastated. And I'm sorry for Ukraine. I mean, Ukraine's the aggrieved party. I wish them victory. The longer the war goes on, the more destruction that happens to the country, though. And they can't push Russia out and Russia can't conquer them. So ultimately, there's going to have to be a negotiated peace. But I don't think there's enough money in the whole world. I mean, it's going to take a decade to repair Ukraine, and somebody should help them. But it probably should be the people who live next to them, their trading partners in Europe and the European countries. Do you know that over half of Europe balances their budget each year? They're much more fiscally sound than we are. Even the big socialist governments of Europe actually balance their budget each year. It's a disgrace what we're doing to our country and to our dollar.
Yeah. All right. Last thing I want to ask you. I've read all of your positions that I can find, I think, on TikTok. I understand your concerns about the First Amendment and competition. The problem I have is this. The DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, says that TikTok poses a national security threat to the United States. It will interfere in our elections. It is owned by the Chinese government. I'm all for competition. I'm all for free speech. I just don't believe you give your enemies a foothold into your camp. And right now, TikTok is collecting data on every single American to use against them. They're sending propaganda.
So's Google and so's Facebook. All of big tech is collecting our data, and I'm not for any of it. I'm not a big fan of any of them collecting our data, but I am a fan of freedom and the First Amendment. I think that you shouldn't. 180 million Americans puts dance videos up there. People have businesses up there. And the ownership really isn't the Chinese Communist government. There's an international board of owners on this. There are Americans that own part of TikTok. They've also made a good faith effort to go through. We have something called CFIUS, which is an elaborate sort of process that the government goes through to try to set up an American board. They've also spent nearly $1 billion trying to set up on an Oracle platform in Texas the data to try to protect against the complaints. So it's not like they're not listening to the complaints. They're trying to do everything they possibly can to comply. But look at it this way. If we're going to ban ownership and we're going to say this company can't exist, what if you invest with a company in Saudi Arabia? I'm not a big fan of the Saudis. They chopped up a journalist and threw his body parts out in the forest in Turkey. And so should we ban a person doing business with Saudi Arabia because they do this? Much of the Middle East will kill homosexuals, and it's a death penalty for homosexuality. That's something that we don't agree with. They treat women like shit. Are we going to end up having bans on doing business with those people? How about the Vietnamese? They're a bunch of commies too. Are we going to say you can't do business with the Vietnamese? So there is no end to bad people out there. And I think we're headed towards economic isolationism. I've got no love for the Chinese government. I think that the virus came out of Wuhan. I think not one penny should go to them. We shouldn't help them in any way. But I'm not for an embargo of China, and I'm not for banning. You also have to think of the Americans involved with this. There's international investors and Americans that are not Chinese in this. You're going to take their property without due process. Because if you tell me I have to sell something, let's say I have to sell something in 1 month, what do you think the value happens on day 30 of that, you know, or day 29 of that? You basically steal all the value and it would go for a yard sale. And I just don't think that's right. And the same sort of anger people have towards TikTok, I've got towards Facebook and YouTube. but I'm consistent in the sense that I've never asked for breaking up Google. I've never asked for breaking up Facebook, and I've never asked to force them to take my stuff. People need to realize also that TikTok is banned in China. So we're going to somehow protect ourselves from China by doing exactly what China's doing. China doesn't like TikTok. TikTok's got a lot of criticism on it of China. That's why they're banned in China. I just don't like bans. I don't like taking people's property. There's the Fifth Amendment protections to taking people's property. But ultimately, the strongest argument is 180 million Americans, you're going to take away their right to post on there. And people say, oh, we're not doing that. They just have to change ownership. Well, what if they don't exist? What if you destroy the company in the process of this and all the business goes to Facebook? Are we going to be really happy we rewarded Zuckerberg over this? So, no, I couldn't be more opposed to this ban. I may be in the minority, but I'll continue to fight against it.
Okay. Always respect your consistency and your principle. Senator Rand Paul, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
When things go south, are you going to be ready? Ready for that crisis when power goes out? Think about it. With all of the natural disasters that are occurring, attacks on our power grid, will you be ready? I will be. I have a Patriot Power Generator 2000X in my home. If the power goes out, I will be ready to power my fridge, our tablets for our kids, their computers, televisions, radios, whatever it needs, our phones. All of that can be taken care of through the Patriot Power Generator 2000X. The best part about the Patriot Power Generator 2000X is that it's powered through solar power. You get two free solar panels that come with it to power it. So you've got no gas. You don't have to worry about fumes or noise. You can bring it into your house. You can travel with it. No matter what, you, your family, your loved ones will be taken care of in times of crisis. It can even power your fridge. The best part, as I said, is that you don't need to worry about going and getting gas and refilling it. The solar panels that come free with it will be your saving grace. Go to 4patriots.com/Spicer, 4patriots.com/Spicer to get your Patriot Power Generator 2000X and be ready in a time of crisis. All right. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Rand. I will say this. I've been in politics 30 years. I don't look it. Rand Paul comes at issues consistently and on principle. And I love at the end, he said, you know, I might be in the minority, but I'm going to tell you what I think. And I respect that. He does. He actually stands up for principle. His votes show it. He'll bring the Senate to a halt. You may not always agree with him, and I don't always agree with him, but he fights on principle. And I love that. Because too many of these guys sell out, and we're seeing that with the TikTok stuff, as I said at the beginning. How much does it cost for you to flip your position, to sell out your country, to sell out the national security of this country? Because that's what you're doing if you're lobbying for TikTok right now. If you're out there promoting it, you're not supporting this country. You may not agree with me on this, but I think when every single national intelligence person tells us that this is a threat, this is what they're doing. When you watch what they're doing to our kids and we're not willing to stand up. Rand Paul's right. China bans this, for God's sakes. Why are we not doing that? We're literally watching this happen in real time, watching the fire get lit. And we're standing around going, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't call the fire department. I don't know. Let's debate it. I just don't get it. China is so clear. They literally put it in writing. How they plan to take over the world. And we're sitting back here. Oh, let's have a conversation with them. Let's meet again and have a strategic dialogue. Are you kidding? What is wrong with us? I just don't get it. They didn't hold back when they did. I mean, the ByteDance and these guys at TikTok are coming full on for Congress. They're flooding their offices. They're using every tactic they can and they're throwing money. Watch these guys sell out. It's unbelievable. I appreciated also his comments on the budget. This is something that used to be a source of pride for Republicans, cutting this, cutting that. We're passing nightclubs now, and they're all buying into it. Why aren't they exposing it? I just don't get this. There are charts that show where we're going. We are spending more money on interest than our national defense. That's another area I disagree with Rand on. I do think that we should make DOD go through a budget. But protecting our country should be the greatest thing. We have shortfalls in all of the services and personnel. Our ships are outdated. Our planes are outdated. We need better equipment. Our munitions are depleted, partly because we're sending them off to Ukraine and other places. I mean, we are not ready right now, folks. That's a reality. But budgets are about priorities. And I look at what's happening right now, the waste that goes on. President Trump brought up entitlements yesterday on the CNBC interview that he did. And he said, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do. And there are, without cutting, as Biden said. It's not all about cutting. It's about just basic reforms that are not happening. And we can do those and we can look through the rest of the budget. But we're not even trying anymore. It's literally like they gave up. I agree with him that we should be holding these Republicans responsible. If you don't fight for smaller government and cutting out waste, then why are you even a Republican? Do you just look better with an R on your shoulder? I don't know. It's in my opinion, pretty pathetic. All right, I told you at the beginning, I want to get to this Nancy Mace thing. So let me set it up for you. Nancy Mace gets asked, as a Trump supporter, to appear on ABC's Sunday show this week with George Stephanopoulos. I texted back and forth with Nancy about this. She was invited to come on as basically a Trump surrogate. Hey, we want to bring up, we're going to have a Biden person, as they always do. Actually, they probably have 10 Biden people. And then we want to have a Trump person on to talk about, okay, and she says, sure, I'll go on. Trump just won the South Carolina primary. She was supportive of him in South Carolina. He just endorsed her. Okay. So she says, yes. So she gets on, she goes on the show. Nancy Mace, by the way, in 2019, when she was in the South Carolina legislature, told a very personal story about how she had been raped because during a bill on exceptions for in a pro-life piece of legislation, she was making the case for rape. She didn't think enough lawmakers understood the trauma that women faced, the consequences of rape, et cetera, and wanted them to hear her personal story. So she told it on the floor of the South Carolina legislature and explained to them how difficult it is for women to come forward and tell their story because it's so difficult to be believed. It's so often that they are shamed. I mean, it took a tremendous act of courage to do that. So here's how George Stephanopoulos went with that on his show. Let's play the clip.
This morning, and you've endorsed Donald Trump for president. Judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw?
Well, I will tell you, I was raped at the age of 16. And any rape victim will tell you, I've lived for 30 years with an incredible amount of shame over being raped. I didn't come forward because of that judgment and shame that I felt. And it's a shame that you will never feel, George. And I'm not gonna sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not gonna do that.
It's actually not about shaming you. It's a question about Donald
Trump. No, you are shaming me.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president.
Right.
Donald Trump has been found liable for rape by a jury. Donald Trump has been found liable for defaming the victim of that rape by a jury. It's been affirmed by a judge.
It was not a criminal court case, number one. Number two, I live with shame. And you're asking me a question about my political choices, trying to shame me as a rape victim. And I find it disgusting. And quite frankly, E. Jean Carroll's comments when she did get the judgment, joking about what she was going to buy, it makes it harder for women to come forward when they make a mockery out of rape, when they joke about it.
Doesn't it make it harder for women to come forward when they...
It makes it harder when other women joke about it, and she's joked about it. I find it offensive. And I also find it offensive that you're trying to shame me with this question.
I'm not trying to shame you.
You are.
Well, in fact,
I have dealt with this for 30 years. You know how hard it was to tell my story 5 years ago when they were doing a fetal heartbeat bill and there were no exceptions for rape, incest, rape or incest in there? I had to tell my story because no other woman was coming forward. No rape victims were represented. And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I'm just asking.
And I find it offensive. And this is why women won't come forward.
Women won't come forward because they're defamed by those who perpetrate rape.
They are judged and they're shamed. And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I think
it's disgusting.
I'm not shaming you at all.
I told my story. It took me 25 years to tell my story. I was judged for it. I still get judged for it today.
I'm asking you a very simple question.
You've heard the definition or the term mansplaining before. How dare George Stephanopoulos, women don't come forward because he's telling her why they don't come forward? What? I am blown away at the lack of coverage of this interview. They covered for him. He mansplained to her what it was like to be raped, why women don't come forward. You don't know, Nancy Mace. You, who came forward telling your tragic personal story about being raped at 16, you don't know. I'll tell you why women don't come forward. You just listen to me because I know why women don't come forward, not you, a woman who's been raped. Are you kidding me? Now, I have spent years prepping people for interviews, being interviewed. That was a masterclass, what Nancy Mace put on. Now, remember the context that I told you about the interview. She was asked to come on as a surrogate. Tell us why Trump's winning or losing or what you think of it. And he wanted to play that gotcha moment. Prior to that coming on, he played her in the South Carolina legislature coming forward. They made this entire segment about her personal rape story. That's why they had her on. But they didn't want to tell her that. They wanted to shock her and make her kind of, ha, gotcha. That was their gotcha moment. You've been raped. He's been accused of rape. But you notice in the first part of George's thing that he says, you know, a jury has found him guilty. She pointed this out. And I'm not undermining, believe me, I don't seek to undermine the charges, but it was a civil judgment. It's not a criminal court that was done that. And then he was found guilty of defaming her, okay? Again, not minimizing any of these charges, but Stephanopoulos is trying to make it seem like somehow Donald Trump, he did what they always try to get everyone else on. He wasn't honest about this. He made it seem like a jury has found him guilty. It was a civil, which is a very different legal standard that you find somebody guilty of in terms of the award they get, the dollars that they get. Nancy Mace explained that in that clip. Then she also explained why she had a problem with E. Jean Carroll's response because she had been laughing about it. She had been talking about how she was going to spend all this money that Nancy Mace said probably makes it more difficult for other women to come forward because, gosh, she's mocking this experience that's so personal and tragic. It was mind-blowing to me because here's the thing. For Nancy Mace, she had to think of that all right there. And in Tide probably is dealing with a bunch of emotional stuff saying, I cannot believe that I'm being attacked again after being able to come forward year, just a few years ago and finally tell this story. Here is this jerk coming at me, trying to get me to, you know, how can you dare support Donald Trump? And she explains it. Here's why I did it. Here's what I think of him. No, that's not good enough. You're a victim of rape. You must denounce him. That's why we're having you on. Didn't you know that? Unbelievable. The composure and the pushback that she exhibited there, as I said, was a masterclass. Because she couldn't have been prepared for that. That's not why they had her on. Frankly, like I said, I'd be going, oh my God, I can't believe you're making this about me and my personal thing. And, you know, trying to, because that's what he wanted. He wanted her to say, gosh, as someone who personally went through this, I get it. That's why. He never does that to Democrats, does he? And let's face it. Now, again, as I said, I think she held a masterclass in showing how to take something that on head on without having notes and be prepared. But let's face it, George. I thought you defended a man who had been seriously charged, accused of very similar things, hadn't he? Kathleen Willey, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then engaging in a sexual act within the Oval Office with an intern. And you want to judge somebody else? Are you kidding me? You were the guy who defended that. You were the guy who probably helped write talking points when Hillary Clinton went out and went after all those women. And you want to shame Nancy Mace? That's his old boss. Okay. That's his old boss. That's who he is. So it would have, you know, in retrospect, if you were ready to have that debate, go in and go, really, you want to ask me that question? Here's what you did as a person. Here's who you defended. But then let's also talk about the current president. He has been accused by a woman named Tara Reid of inappropriately engaging in some sexually inappropriate behavior. Okay, why hasn't he ever asked a Democrat? Okay, I don't. Now she didn't sue him in a civil court. He has no criminal judgment against him, neither does Donald Trump. It's amazing how these guys are so one-sided, isn't it? I think lesser people would have gotten crushed in that interview because that's what they wanted. That was a setup from the jump. But Nancy Mace held her own, and not just held her own, because that doesn't do it full justice. She crushed him. And what was the media response? Oh, nothing. Nancy Mace it's fiery, probably. A fiery exchange, a heated exchange. A man told a woman why women don't come forward with respect to rape. A woman who came forward painfully with her own rape story. And George Stephanopoulos is going to mansplain that to her. And no one else. Where are all the women's groups? Where are all the feminists that say, how dare you tell a woman what she feels and why she should come forward? I'm sorry, is he some expert in this? What gives him the right to tell her why women come forward? A woman who he literally just played how her story, had her tell it again, explain how difficult it was. It's amazing what the left will overlook, isn't it? And yet that is our media over and over again on issue after issue after issue. And as we get ready for this election, that's what we are going to face. Every single day, an issue after issue. They went after Katie Britt, right? We talked about this yesterday. All of the inconsistencies in the story that she told. Here's Biden. I cut the deficit $1 trillion. I did this. I did that. How many fact checks did they do on his State of the Union speech? None. Most of these guys claim that they were tired. They don't fact check anymore because they don't need to anymore. Donald Trump's not in office. Joe Biden got into politics. His first run for president was undermined by him plagiarizing. We call it gaffes now. That's different. He doesn't lie. He just is a gaffe machine. Story after story, his work history, his education history. How many times do we hear the story of Joe Biden was first in his class on that and did that and then debunked it because it's not true? But of course, we don't call that lying. This is what we will face every day up through November's election. We've got to be on guard for it. I appreciate you tuning in today. We've had a great episode. I love what Rand Paul brought to the show. His explanations, I may not agree with him, as I said all the time, but the man is principled and consistent and he's smart. We've got a great, great show the rest of the week. Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony from the January 6th committee. That's being called into question now. A lot more fallout from the border illegal issue on all these newcomers. So continue to subscribe. Apple, YouTube, Rumble. Join us. I'll live chat you. Super chat with you. Can super chat with us on the premiere at 6 o'clock when it streams. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Sean Spicer Show. Thanks for being with us.